Good morning. It's good to see you here today. We trust that you're having a wonderful day as you prepare for the weekend of the 4th. I know that that's a big day to a lot of people, probably the biggest day of the year for picnics. I don't know if you're planning on a picnic or not, but normally a lot of families do that and go through that. I'm getting a bit of an echo here, John. If you could cut me back a little bit, I would appreciate that. Probably not as much as they would appreciate it, but I would. Thank you. Tonight, in our evening service, we're going to be having just kind of a VBS thing. So you can come and see what took place in VBS this last week. We had a lot of workers and kids running around, and it was a great, great time. And tonight they're going to get that opportunity to just kind of share with you what took place. So we encourage you to come on out, show the children that you support them, that you care. I say this often, but it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about him. And I'll tell you, when it comes to those little ones, it's about them. And that's important for us to realize. So I encourage you, come on out and see what took place this past week. Right now, I wonder if you'd please take your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. I want you to notice the 36th verse in particular, but we're going to read verses 34 through 36. Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that comes from the power of sin. And that freedom has come to us because of the grace of Jesus. And we thank you for that. Father, thank you for the promise that you've given us to walk with us, to encourage us, to give us hope, to give us strength, even when we feel helpless. Now, Lord, please watch over us as we work our way through this message. And then, Father, as we leave here today, help us to honor you with everything that we do. For it's in your glorious and righteous and holy name we pray. Amen. This particular passage and that 35th verse is kind of interesting. The 35th verse says this, "And the slave does not remain in the house forever." Folks, we have been given this precious gift called life. And in this life, we are slaves, every one of us, all right? We're going to be slaves to our sinfulness, or we're going to be slaves to Jesus Christ. That's simply the way it is. The one that we obey, that's the one we're a slave to. So if we obey God, we are free from the penalties of sin. We are free from the power of sin, and God has set us free from that. But if we're going to serve self or if we're going to serve sin, we are going to be a slave to either self or sin. And there will never be any freedom from self or sin. In fact, there only becomes, at the end of this life, then greater enslavement in the lake of fire. And so the choice is ours. And that's the amazing thing that God has given us. He has given us this privilege to be able to know the Son, Jesus Christ, and thereby know life and have forgiveness, or we can reject the Son and have eternal slavery. So the choice is ours. And that's amazing to me that God trusts us with that decision. And yet he does. I want to share with you this morning four things out of this particular passage, and in fact, we're going to bring in some other stuff here. But I want us to know how we can be free. Not say we are free, but know how we can be free. The very first thing in this discovery of freedom, because as Jesus says here in verse 36, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, in order for that to happen, it begins in a thing called faith. That's where it starts. Mark 11:22, Jesus says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And many people are lacking in faith, in that it's not that they don't have the gift of faith, because God gives to everyone a measure of faith whereby he might believe. All right? Every individual is born with this ability to take and put faith in God so that they can come to a relationship with him. Because it's not God's will that any should perish, but it's God's will that all should come to repentance. And so the gift of faith is sleeping inside of the individual who does not know God. But the gift of faith is there. That ability to believe in God, it is there. And that's where our faith has to rest, but it has to rest in God and in what he has done and in his provision of life and in his declaration for eternal life, not ours. Some people think that going to church saves them. No, it doesn't. Some people think that being better than they are bad is going to save them, that somehow God has this system of a curve that mankind is going to be judged on. That's not true. God doesn't judge on a curve. He judges on the cross. And what we have done with the one who hung on the cross, Jesus Christ. So it's not whether you're better than you are bad. It's whether or not you have taken this gift of faith and have exercised it by believing in Jesus Christ, what he has done, and repented of your sins and taken Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where life comes. That's where freedom comes. When Jesus makes this statement in verse 36. When he makes this declaration anyways, verse 36, if therefore the Son has made you free, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the amazing privilege that we have of having freedom. But that only comes by believing in him and what he has done for us. It's not what we do. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you give everything that you have away to someone who's poor. That's not going to get you into heaven. All right? It's not going to do it. faith is what it takes. A trust in Jesus Christ that produces in us a repentance for our sins and a reception of Him as our Lord and Savior. If we don't receive Jesus, we don't receive life. It is that simple. So you're going to be enslaved then here and in eternity if you don't receive Jesus Christ. Or you can serve the Lord, be a slave, if you will, to Him, but realize that when you get to heaven, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, which means everything of His is yours. Which means freedom is true and thorough and complete. So you can be set free, or you can be eternally enslaved. We talk a lot in this country about freedoms, and to tell you the truth, we're not really a free nation. And we're getting less free every day in this nation. And that's tragic. But we're not really free. But when Jesus Christ comes in and sets us spiritually free, we are free indeed. Thoroughly and completely, we're freed in Him. We're freed from the power of sin and made into the righteousness of God. Have faith in God. Secondly, rely on God. Psalm 37, verse 5 tells us, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring what to pass? He shall bring life to pass. Many people are insecure. They're in a constant bondage to materialisms or to the love of money, or they're indulgent in illicit or immoral acts. Some are pursuing excessive popularity. There's all types of things that they're enslaved to. And in their own, they might reach a semblance of what their hopes are. But their hopes may not be the hope of God for them. And they may find at the end of this life that the things that they pursued in this life are shallow and empty. If you seek wealth, wealth will not buy you one more minute of time. If you seek popularity, you'll be forgotten in a hurry. But if you seek God, He'll never forget you. He will bless you, and He will provide for you. I made the statement that nothing's going to add 1 minute to your life, and I believe that with all my heart. There's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. All right? God has laid out your number of days, your number of hours, your number of minutes. And when that time comes that those days, hours, minutes are done, your life here will cease. It's going to happen, folks. It's appointed unto man once to die. Then after this, the judgment. So all of that wealth is going to mean nothing. All of that popularity is going to mean nothing when it comes down to that moment of drawing that last breath. And at that time in life, you would give absolutely everything up for one more day. You know what? It's better to make certain that your soul is right with God so that when that moment comes that God has established for you, when that moment comes, your heart is at peace with God. For that's the opening up to eternity. None of that other stuff's going to matter. It's not. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And he's referring to this because he knows that God is love and in him there is no hatred and that type of thing. And he's talking about that. And the Apostle Paul is in that great love chapter. He says, look, if I give all of my goods away to the poor, but I don't have love, I don't have God, it profits me nothing. Nothing. You see, folks, God is love. And when He is in your life, love is expanded and opened. It's not wishy-washy. It's love of integrity. It's love of truth. It's love of honesty. It's love of honor. It's love of all of the characteristics and the qualities of God. That's what love is. But when we choose to not love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and with all of our soul, when we choose to not do that, we reject God. Choose to love Him and rely upon Him. He will guide your steps. The third thing I want to share with you on being free is that you need to enlist for God. Enlist for God. Jesus was coming down to the end of His ministry time here on earth. And He looked at the people who were, as He put it, distressed and wandering like sheep without a shepherd. And He looked at His disciples and He said this, which I found very interesting. He said, the harvest field is ripe. It's white. It's ready for harvesting. But the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, that God would send laborers into His harvest field. Pray that God would send laborers into His harvest field. You know what happens when we do that? God calls us. That's what happens. Surigliano, if you are sincere about this, I'm going to send you because I need laborers in my field. Popovich, P-O-P-O-V-I-C-H, when you begin to pray like this, I'm going to send you, for I need you in my fields. Paul, Willie, when you pray like this, God's going to send you into his fields. And you know what most people do? Well, then I ain't going to pray, because I ain't going to go. How tragic. God's fields then did not get harvested. Fields are ripe. They're white. They're ready. But the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his fields. Well, you're not going to like this. The harvest field isn't the church. The harvest field's the neighbors. The harvest field's the workers that work with you in the factory or at the shop or at the business or wherever. That's the harvest field. When you ask God to send forth laborers, he's going to say to you, I want you to be a laborer in my field. And my field is where I have planted you. In your neighborhood, in your shop, in your business, where I have planted you. That's where you are to labor. What's the purpose of the church? To learn, to equip, to praise, to honor God, to worship, so that we can go out into the fields. Sign up with God. Enlist in his service. And he'll use you in a great way. The end result is this: eternal life. That's what the end result is. Eternal life. In John chapter 14, in the first three verses, Jesus is giving us that great declaration, if you will, that promise that he's giving to his disciples. And he says this, Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. My mistake. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The promise of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. And he's coming back to receive those who are looking for his appearance. He's coming back to receive those who have trusted him for salvation. He's coming back for those who have faithfully worked out in his harvest field. He's coming back for those who have submitted themselves to him, to his lordship, and to his leadership. He's coming back for those who are genuine in their faith. Not for those who say they have faith and then grumble about everything that comes along and everyone else. He's talking about those with genuine faith that are looking for his appearing. Are you looking? Or are you more concerned with the things of this world and the things of this life. Perhaps today is the day where you change your focus point from here to there. Let's stand. This morning, I'd like to have everybody bow their head and everybody close their eyes, please. Nobody looking around. I wonder if there's anyone here today that would be willing to say, "Pastor, I know that my life is not right with God. I know that there are some things that I've allowed to creep in that are crowding my spiritual life. Perhaps I don't even know Jesus. But I would like you to pray for me that I might know Jesus in His completeness and in His fullness." If there's anyone like that this morning, while no one's looking around, I'm going to ask you to please raise your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Any others? Just raise your hand and put it back down. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see your hand too. Anyone else? Our gracious Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word, as uncomfortable as it gets. But Jesus, thank you that you speak to the hearts of men and women, children. Thank you for the fact that you love us enough that you're not willing to not warn us or not reveal to us the way of truth and the way of true freedom. Thank you that you love us enough that you sacrificed so that we could have life. And Lord, I thank you for everyone here this morning who raised a hand. And Lord, I'm going to pray for them right now, and I'm going to ask you to do your work in their lives. And so, Father, help us at this very moment to be receptive to you. For those of you who raised a hand, I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. You can pray silently where you're at this prayer, but I am going to ask you, when this prayer's over, I'm going to ask you to come up and shake my hand. Jesus said, "If anyone will come to me, I will in no wise cast them out." Jesus also said that if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And by stepping out in front of friends, you would be making that profession this day. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. And these folks might pray for you then. So I'm going to lead you in this simple prayer. If you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, if you want to recommit your life to Him, to be faithful to Him, I'm going to ask you to silently pray along with me and invite Jesus Christ to take over your life. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I have sinned. I realize that my sin offends you. For that, Jesus, I am truly sorry, and I ask for your forgiveness. Jesus, I believe you are God. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. Jesus, I believe you forgive and that you are truth. And so I ask you to please forgive me and to come into my life with your fullness and make me new. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. For it's in your glorious and righteous and holy name that I pray. Amen.